Let's pray. God, we ask that you would be amongst us as we try to listen for you today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, because God, you are the rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we find ourselves in week 8 of a series called Reformation. You might have thought the bulletin is just going to look like that forever, but don't worry, another series is coming soon. Just a little, maybe I'll just give you a little preview. The next series was birthed out of a drawing of a series of geometrical shapes, so we can all just think about how absolutely crazy that will be. So just know there is uncertainty ahead. Weeks 1 through 7, this is what we've talked about. I want us to kind of stay connected with the series and where we've come from and where we are going. This has been our whole summer, so I don't want us to miss it. The first week, we talked about how we have to pay attention to the Spirit in order to be changed. We've got to be open. We've got to be listening. The rhythm of our lives has to be open to God's movement. And then we talked about how following God's Spirit means that we will have to live boldly, and that sometimes that will feel a little odd, out of place, maybe scary. We talked about how we have to know where we've come from and who we are to know where the Holy Spirit is leading. That we have to expect God to surprise us. That we have to be willing to leave our comfort zone sometimes. That's the sermon that Grace preached. She talked about sometimes we've got to get up from our own tables and we've got to journey out, right? That following God's Spirit sometimes might upset our economics. Dave told that great joke about the poor preacher. And then last week we talked about how following God's Spirit helps us to see God at work everywhere, even in places where folks may not know God's name, that God is like on the Areopagus, to the unknown God, the statue there, that God is still at work there, even when folks might not even be able to name it. And so today we are going to talk about every human being's favorite topic, following God through uncertainty. We love that, don't we? Like, oh, we love following God when the path is murky and when it looks kind of muddy ahead, when we're not sure which step comes after this very first step that God has asked us. Yes, give me a sign, yes. I'll tell you, I actually lived this experience in writing this sermon. We went over to the Killingsworth's house, to the beach, for a day or so, and Carol kept coming into the kitchen and saying, "Is your sermon done?" And I kept saying, "Well, well," and I'll tell you, all the way to this morning, "Well," I inhabited my own sense of uncertainty even in writing this sermon, so I want you to know I'm here with us. Today we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the way that we learn just because we're following Jesus doesn't mean that we are Jesus, that we're going to get it all right, but that we keep journeying anyway. Now, before we begin, I have a very serious question. Has anyone in this building today seen the movie Anchorman? Okay. So Anchorman is a very silly movie that is crude in some places, so not necessarily a kid's movie, but Anchorman, the premise of the movie is that there's this team of anchor folks on a news channel, and like all these news channels are battling each other, okay? So it's like they're like the cool people at the news channel. And at one point they have like a street battle between news anchors, so you can tell how ridiculous this movie is. One of my favorite scenes is the guy who is the anchor of the like primary news channel. His name is Ron Burgundy. Ron Burgundy. And when he walks around, you're all very sure that he is so important because he is the anchor of the news. I'm Ron Burgundy. And my favorite scene from a movie, Ron is at a party and he walks up to a woman he doesn't know, and he's not sure how to approach people who don't already love him and know who he is. And so he walks up to her and he says, "Do you know who I am?" And she says, "No, I can't say that I do." "Well, I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. And she says, really? People know me. I'm very happy for you, she says. And he says, I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany. And she's like, very good, right? He walks up to her like he's really sure he's super important, and he can't figure out why she doesn't just get that he's super important. So before we talk too much about the scripture, I want you to hear that when I first read Paul's words in the scripture today, I got a Ron Burgundy vibe. You know, it feels a little bit like he gathers all the leaders together and he says, hello, I'm here. I'm Paul. Right? I have to tell you many things. I have led you to many things. Now, I don't begrudge him the truth of his experience. He talks a lot about the difficulties that he's been through for the sake of the gospel. But basically, he just pendulum swung. We talked about this early in Acts, from persecuting Christians. He was there when Stephen was stoned, to being persecuted for being one. He's the extreme sports guy of the Bible, okay? He's like all the way in, and then, you know, every once in a while he gets a little, like a little much. Now, I love him for this because I get it. Dave doesn't know I'm going to tell this story, but before, when we were dating and maybe when we were engaged, I told poor Dave that if he wasn't ready to do mission year married, an extreme year of service where you live in community the day after you get married, that we probably weren't called to be married to one another, because I was absolutely sure that that is exactly what God was calling me to. This is why I love Paul and Peter. They get ahead of themselves, right? Because we all kind of feel like the gospel is costly and all the things, and we have to be extreme for Jesus, right? And so we hear Paul getting a little ahead of himself. We hear Paul kind of being a little proud and excited and very ready to list his Ron Burgundy accomplishments. He says in verse 18, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. Now, there's a couple of things I want us to point out here. One is that we hear the story of his triumphs, but he doesn't necessarily list the part where he was a persecutor of Christians and killed lots of people in the early church. Right? Maybe we can identify with that. Maybe we like to list the good things that we've done, but we kind of forget where we came from. I also think it kind of kills the humility vibe when you gather all the leaders together and you're like, I have been very humble amongst you. Right? I think it's important that we also point this out. He talks about the Jews here in a way that lots of folks later in church history and in the world would use to justify anti-Semitism. I think it's important that we hear that in the very last chapters of Acts, Paul is identifying himself as a Jew. He doesn't lose that category of identifying himself. And so, for folks to wish harm upon Jewish folks by using Paul's words is also to wish harm upon Paul. So there's a lot that's going on here. I want us to be sure that we hear some clarity. We hear some things that might be going on behind the text. Now, I have my battles with Paul throughout scriptures. I'm sure each of us has folks that we battle with in scripture. But I really appreciate that he reminds us that God can use imperfect people along the way. Isn't that comforting? Even the people in scripture, and maybe especially the people in scripture, demonstrate to us that even though we can come off wrong sometimes, or say something a little crazy, or sound a little pompous, or maybe we need to change our tone or our minds, that God can still use us. Whew, that is comforting to me. As we approach the scripture today and always, it's comforting to know that the folks of the Bible, they testify about their own journeys towards perfection. We forget that sometimes, that Abraham and Isaac and Moses and lots of the judges and King David and Priscilla and Mary Magdalene and the Samaritan woman and Peter and Paul, all these folks are trying to follow God, and sometimes, you know, they aren't perfect yet, and we aren't either. Sometimes they get it right, and sometimes they don't. And aren't we in good company? So the first thing I want us to hear today is that following the Spirit means that we are on a journey with lots of imperfect people, including ourselves. Amen. And that sometimes we're going to try really hard to get it right, and we're not always going to know. Now, next, I want us to talk a little bit about what Paul's words teach us today. So we hear him gather the leaders of the churches that he has started for a final time. He's going to say goodbye because he knows he's not going to be able to come back. Can you imagine the heartbreak? He knows he needs to keep doing his work and planting new churches, but he comes to terms with the fact that he won't see these folks again. That is particularly uncertain. For him as a leader, it is particularly uncertain for communities that have built their lives around the testimony that he has shared with them. He encourages them in their community. He reminds them of his own sacrifice and his love for them. He even points out that the Holy Spirit has warned him that everywhere he goes, he upsets the status quo so much that people keep throwing him in jail. People don't like that when you upset the status quo. And he tells them uncertain times are ahead. He's not sure what to expect for himself or for them. It's like he's saying, this is where we came from. This is what we know so far. These are the words of Jesus we can trust. Let's pray for each other and keep up the good race. He warns them that there may be folks who are trying to deceive the community, that there may be some of them who get it wrong, who are led astray. There are some folks from outside of the community who might do that. And he says, he emphasizes this in multiple places, that they might lose the story of God's grace. The good news of God's grace. The gospel of God's grace. Sometimes I think we like to talk about the gospel, which actually means good news, but that we think the story of the gospel is mostly about a hell filled with fire. Now, here's a story. This is one of the reasons my sermon really had to shift. One of my best friends is a United Methodist pastor. Her husband is a United Methodist pastor. She's been in the church all of her life. She is one of the holiest people I know. And she was standing outside of a bathroom at a gas station because she and her two daughters were traveling back from Alabama. Now, they're just standing at a gas station. Her four-year-old is there, and someone walks up to her and hands her a handwritten piece of paper. And she is familiar with unpredictable things happening, so she just goes with the flow. It's one of the reasons we're good friends, because she can handle me. And she said, and the paper says, what if you got in a plane crash? What if you got shot in your car? You'd be going to hell, which is definitely a real place. So please say exactly these words in the top right corner of this paper. In the bottom right, I just think this is funny, the paper said, also sing this song, God Bless the USA. The Lord loves this song. Now, nothing against Lee Greenwood, but that's a mighty confident opinion to declare right after you just talked about people's skin melting off in hell that you're also sure you know God's favorite song. Now, I don't know about you, but utterly no part of that sounds like good news. And it certainly doesn't sound humble either, because this woman was absolutely sure that my friend, one of the holiest people I know, was going to have her skin melted off tonight by an angry God waiting to smite her and her four-year-old daughter. Now, my friend smiled She nodded her head because she's a good pastor. She thanked the woman for her concern. And then she went into the bathroom to explain to her four-year-old that God also liked her preschool songs that she performed last week. In our scripture today, as Paul addresses the leaders at Ephesus, he doesn't rally them around a battle cry or explain to them that following Jesus can be done in three simple steps. He says he is going on to Jerusalem, a journey that Jesus made as well. And when you upset the status quo, people get angry. You don't always know what's going to happen. He expected that probably like Jesus, he would be incarcerated and mistreated. And then Paul tells them to take care of each other, to remember the story of God's grace, and to stay with it, even when it's filled with difficulty and uncertainty. Y'all, following Jesus requires that we be willing to embrace that we don't always know what is ahead in the journey, but we're going on anyway. I think this is a word for us today because increasingly we live in a world where everything should fit on a Wikipedia preview. Wikipedia is an online encyclopedia, so everything has to be short because the internet doesn't give you lots of time. How many six-toed cats does Ernest Hemingway have? Give me an answer. Why is the sky blue? Give me an answer. How do you follow Jesus? Give me an answer. We expect that everything is black and white, that you are in or you are out. You are one of us or you aren't. You either know God and are exactly sure where God is leading you, or you don't, and you probably don't even know God's favorite songs. But that isn't what happens here, or even in the rest of Acts. This isn't what happens in Scripture. In fact, I was even comforted by Paul's uncertainty. He thinks he's bound in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, but a bunch of people after this actually warn him and tell him not to go. Paul, of all people, knows our desire to turn God into checkboxes, to win the fight, to be the best persecutor of our enemies, to be absolutely sure, to watch the stoning of Stephen like it doesn't break your heart. Paul knows this because he has lived it. And so here, even through his hubris, he encourages the community of leaders to lead well, to remember the story, to keep up the good work of caring for the weak. He continues on his journey and acknowledges that following Jesus includes uncertainty and roadblocks and misunderstandings, changing our courses, changing our minds, changing our lives. It means admitting when we're wrong and embracing that we don't always know the right way to go. So what does this mean for us this morning? Those of us who are sitting here at First United Methodist Church of Sanford, in our community, in our world, in our time. We live in a world where might makes right, where we never admit that you are wrong. That's the Episcopalians telling me it's time to wrap up. We live in a world where we have to be sure about anything before we take the next step. I have to know absolutely everything before I will do a single next step. We live in a world where the uncertainty that goes along with following an unpredictable Spirit of God sounds foolish. But maybe that is the witness of the church today. Maybe the church is the one place where we can be together with folks who are different from us and who are imperfect like us. Maybe the church can be the one place where we say, I don't know, but let's walk this journey together. Maybe the church can be the one place where, in the words of John Wesley, though we may not think alike, may we not love alike. Maybe our church can be a place where we can try to be used by God even in our own imperfections. A place where we can embrace that we don't always know, but we want to try. A place where we can admit when we're wrong and be an example of love and faith, even in times of uncertainty. Maybe this is what the church is called to. Maybe this is the kind of church that Paul is inviting us to. Maybe this is our witness today. Let's pray. Holy God, you know that being a human is filled with fear and uncertainty. God, you know our temptation has always been to have all of the knowledge of good and evil, to make a name for ourselves, to become like God. And God, you love us anyway. Lord, we pray that in our time and place, in our community, we pray that we could have the faith to follow you, even when we aren't sure where that leads us. God, make our witness one of love, of the good news of your grace, one of kindness on the journey, and sharing in love together, even when we don't know. Give us that kind of courage, Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.